Chapter 3 You'll be issued a bicycle. The man, his name tag said Dimitri, hatchery supervisor, gestured toward the area where bicycles were standing in racks. He had met her at the door, unsurprised by her arrival. Obviously, he had been notified that she was on her way. Claire nodded. Confined to the birthing unit and its surrounding grounds for over a year now, she had not needed any kind of transportation. And she had walked here, carrying her small case of belongings, from the birth mother's area to the northeast. It wasn't far, and she knew the route. But after so many months, everything seemed new and unfamiliar. She had passed the school and saw children at their required exercise in the recreation field. None seemed to recognize her, though they looked curiously at the young woman walking along the path at midday. It was unusual. Most people were at their jobs. Those who needed to be out and about were on bicycles making their way from one building to another. No one walked. A small girl with hair ribbons grinned at Claire from the exercise routine and waved surreptitiously. Claire smiled back, remembering her own beribboned days, but an instructor called sharply to the child, who made a face, and turned back to the assigned calisthenics. Across the central plaza, she caught a glimpse in the dwelling area of the small house where she had grown up. Other people would live there now, couples newly assigned to each other, perhaps waiting for her. She averted her eyes from the nurturing center. It was, she knew, where the products were taken after the birthing, usually in groups, early morning most often. Once, sleepless at dawn, she had watched from the window of her cubicle and seen four products tucked into baskets, loaded into a two-wheeled cart attached to the back of a bicycle. After checking their security in the cart, the birthing attendant had ridden off toward the nurturing center to deliver them there. She wondered if her own product, her boy, number 36, had been taken to the nurturing center yet. Claire knew that they waited, sometimes days, occasionally weeks, making certain that everything was going well, that the products were healthy, to make the transfer. Well, she sighed. Time to put it out of her mind. She walked on, past the Hall of Law and Justice. Peter, whom she had once known as a teasing older brother, would be inside at work. If he glanced through a window and saw a young woman walking slowly past, would he know it was Claire? Would he care? Past the House of Elders, the place where the governing committee lived and studied, past small office buildings, past the bicycle repair shop, and now she could see the river that bordered the community, its dark water moving swiftly, foaming around rocks here and there. Claire had always feared the river. As children, they had been warned of its dangers. She had known of a young boy who had drowned. There were rumors, likely untrue, of citizens who had swum across or even made their way across the high forbidden bridge and disappeared into the unknown lands beyond. But she was fascinated by it too, its constant murmur and movement, and the mystery of it. She crossed the bike path, waiting politely until two young women had pedaled by. To her left, she could see the shallow fish-holding ponds, and remembered how as younger children she and her friends had watched the silvery creatures darting about. Now she would be working here, at the hatchery, and living here too, she assumed, at least until... Until when? Citizens were given dwellings when they were assigned spouses. Birth mothers never had spouses, so she had not thought about it until now. Now she wondered, was she eligible now for a spouse, and eventually for... Claire sighed. It was troubling and confusing to think about such things. She turned away from the holding ponds, made her way to the front door of the main building, and was met there by Dimitri. That night, alone in the small bedroom she'd been assigned, Claire looked down from her window to the darkened, surging river below. She yawned. It had been a long and exhausting day. This morning she had awakened in her familiar surroundings, the place where she had lived for so many months, but by midday, her entire life had shifted. She had not had a chance to say goodbye to her friends, the other vessels. They would be wondering where she had gone, but would likely forget her soon. She had taken her place here, been issued a name tag, and been introduced to the other workers. They seemed pleasant enough. Some, older than Claire, had spouses and dwellings, and left at the end of the day's work. Others, like herself, lived here, in the rooms along the corridor. One, Heather, had been the same year as Claire. She had been a 12 at the same ceremony. Surely she would remember Claire's assignment as birth mother. Her eyes flickered in recognition when they were introduced. But Heather said nothing. Neither did Claire. There was nothing really to say. She supposed that she and the younger workers, including Heather, would become friends of a sort. They would sit together at meals and go in groups to attend community entertainments. After a while, they would have shared jokes, probably things about fish, phrases that would make them chuckle. It had been that way with the other vessels, and Claire found herself missing already the easy camaraderie among them. But she would fit in here. Everyone welcomed her cheerfully and said they'd be glad of her help. The work wouldn't be hard. She had been allowed to watch the lab attendants in gowns and gloves strip eggs from what they called the breeder fish, anesthetized females. A little like squeezing toothpaste, she thought, amused at the image. Nearby, other attendants squeezed what they told her was milt from the male. Then they added the creamy substance to the container that held the fresh eggs. It had to be very precisely timed, they explained, and antiseptic. They worried about contamination and bacteria. The temperature made a difference as well. Everything was carefully controlled. In a nearby room lit by dim red lights, she had watched another gloved worker look through trays of stacked fertilized eggs. "See those spots?" the worker had asked Claire. She pointed to the tray of glistening pink eggs. Claire peered down and saw that most of them had two dark spots. She nodded. "Eyes," the girl told her. "Oh," Claire said, amazed that already, so young and tiny that she could hardly think of it as a fish, it had eyes. "See here?" Using a metal tool, the girl pointed to a discolored, eyeless egg. "This one's dead." Carefully, she plucked it from the tray with her forceps and discarded it in the sink. Then she returned the tray to its rack and reached for the next one. "Why did it die?" Claire asked. She found that she was whispering. The room was so dimly lit, so quiet and cool, that her voice was hushed. But the worker replied in a normal tone, very matter-of-fact. "I don't know. The insemination went wrong, I guess." She shrugged and removed another dead egg from the second tray. "We have to take them out so they don't contaminate the good ones. I check them every day." Claire felt a vague discomfort. The insemination had gone wrong. Was that what had happened to her? Had her product, like the discolored eyeless egg, been thrown aside someplace? But no, they had told her that number 36 was fine. She tried to set aside her troubling thoughts and pay attention to the worker's voice and explanations. "Claire?" The door opened and it was Dimitri, the supervisor, looking for her. "I want to show you the dining room, and they have your schedule almost ready to give you." So she had continued her tour of the facility and been instructed in her next day's duties, cleaning mostly, everything had to be kept spotless, and later she had had supper with a group of the workers who lived, as she would now, at the hatchery. They talked mostly about what they had done during recreation time. There was an hour allotted each day when they could do whatever they liked. Someone mentioned a bike ride and a picnic lunch along the river. Apparently the kitchen staff would pack your lunch in a basket if you asked in advance. Two young men had joined a ball game. Someone had watched repairs being done on the bridge. It was aimless, pleasant chat, but it served to remind Claire that she was freer now than she had been in a long time. She could go for a walk after lunch, she thought, or in the evening. Later, in her room, thinking, she realized what she wanted to do when she had time. Not just an ordinary walk. She wanted to try to find a girl named Sophia, a girl her own age, a girl who had turned 12 when Claire did. They had not been particular friends, just acquaintances and schoolmates who had happened to share a birth year. But Sophia had been seated next to Claire at the ceremony when they were given their assignments. "Birth mother," the chief elder had announced when it was Claire's turn to stand and be acknowledged. She had shaken the chief elder's hand, smiled politely at the audience, taken her official assignment papers, and gone back to her seat. Sophia had stood next. Nurturer, the chief elder had named Sophia. It had meant little to Claire then, but now it meant that Sophia, an assistant at first, probably by now fully trained, was working in the nurturing center, the place where Claire's product, her child, her baby, was being held and fed. Days passed. Claire waited for the right time. Usually the workers took their breaks in pairs or groups. People would wonder if she wandered off alone during a break. There would be murmurs about her and questions. She didn't want that. She needed them to see her as hardworking and responsible, as someone ordinary, someone without secrets. So she waited, worked, and began to fit in. She made friends. One lunchtime, she joined several co-workers in a picnic along the riverbank. They leaned their bikes against nearby trees and sat on some flat rocks in the high grass while they unpacked the prepared food. Nearby, on the path, two young boys rode by on their bikes, laughing at something and waved to them. Hey, look, one boy was pointing. Supply boat! Eagerly, the two youngsters dropped their bikes and scrambled down the sloping riverbank to watch as the barge-like boat passed, its open deck heavy with wooden containers of various sizes. Rolf, one of the picnickers, looked at his watch and then at the boys. They're going to be late getting back to school, he commented with a wry smile. The others all chuckled. Now that they were finished with school, it was easy to be amused by the regulations that they had all lived by as children. I was late once, Claire told them, because a groundskeeper sliced his hand while he was pruning the bushes over by the central offices. I stopped and watched while they bandaged him and took him off to the infirmary for stitches. I used to hope I'd be assigned nursing attendant, she added. There was an awkward silence for a moment. Claire wasn't certain if they knew her background. Undoubtedly, there had been some explanation given for her sudden appearance at the hatchery, but probably they had been told no details. To have failed at one's assignment, to be reassigned, had something of a shame to it. No one would ever mention it if they did know. No one would ask. Well, the committee knows best, Edith commented primly as she passed sandwiches around. Anyway, there's an element of nursing at the hatchery, all the labs and procedures. Claire nodded.
Hatchery wouldn't have been my first choice, a tall young man named Eric said. I was really hoping for law and justice.
My brother's there, Claire told him.
Does he like it? Eric asked with interest.
Claire shrugged. I guess so. I never see him. He was older. Once he finished his training, he moved away from our dwelling. He might even have a spouse by now.
You'd know that, Rolf pointed out. You see the spouse assignments at the ceremony. I've applied for a spouse, he added, grinning. I had to fill out about 1,000 forms.
Claire didn't tell them that she had not attended the last two ceremonies. Birth mothers did not leave their quarters during their years of production. Claire had never seen a vessel until she became one. She had not known until she had both experienced and observed it that human females swelled and grew and reproduced. No one had told her what birth meant.
Look, Eric said suddenly. The supply boat's stopping at the hatchery. Good. I put in an order quite a while ago.
He glanced down at the riverbank where the two youngsters were still watching the boat.
Boys, he called. When they looked up, he pointed to the watch on his own wrist. The school bell is going to ring in less than 5 minutes.
Reluctantly, they climbed back up the bank and went to retrieve their bikes.
Thank you for the reminder, one said politely to Eric. You think the supply boat will still be there after school? The other boy asked eagerly.
But Eric shook his head.
They unload quickly, he told the boy, who looked disappointed.
I wish I could be a boat worker,
they could hear one boy say to the other as they set their bikes upright.
I bet they go lots of places we don't even know about. I bet if I were working on a supply boat, I'd get to see...
If we don't get back on time, his friend said nervously, we're not going to be assigned anything. Come on, let's get going.
The boys rode away toward the school building in the distance.
I wonder what he thought he'd get to see as a boat worker, Rolf commented.
They began to tidy up the picnic and to pack away the uneaten food.
Other places, other communities. The boats must make a lot of stops.
Eric folded the napkins and placed them in the basket.
They'd all be the same. What's so exciting about seeing a different hatchery, a different school, a different nurturing center, a different...
Edith interrupted them. It's pointless to speculate, she said in her terse, businesslike tone. Accomplishes nothing. Wondering is very likely against the rules, though I suppose it isn't a serious infringement.
Eric rolled his eyes and handed Rolf the basket.
Here, he said. Strap this on your bike and take it back, would you? I have to do an errand. I told the lab chief that I'd pick up some stuff at the supply center.
Rolf, attaching the basket to his bike by its transportation straps, commented,
It might be nice to travel on the river, though, just for the trip. Fun to see new things. Even, he added facetiously, if you haven't wondered about them.
Edith ignored that.
Could be dangerous, Eric pointed out. That water's deep.
He looked around, making sure they had collected everything.
Ready to go back?
Claire and Edith nodded and moved their bikes to the path. Eric waved and rode off on his errand. Even if it might be against the rules, some kind of infringement, it would be hard to know without studying the thick book of community regulations, though it was always available on the monitor in the hatchery lobby. But there were pages and pages of very small print, and no one ever bothered to look at it, as far as Claire could tell. There would be no way for anyone to get caught in the act of wondering, Claire thought. It was an invisible thing, like a secret. She herself spent a great deal of time at it, wondering. Pedaling back, she rehearsed in her mind silently how easy it would be to say in a casual voice, I have to run an errand. How she could slip away. It wouldn't take long. And ride over to the nurturing center to find Sophia and ask some questions.